want to thank Mary and Jimmy, who gave online and support Democracy Now! And KBOO's programming, the fact that we're independent. And you can give online as well, kboo.fm. So easy to do there on the website. You can look at the thank you gifts that are available, or you can just call up and ask the volunteers to describe this amazing hoodie or these other thank you gifts that you can get for your contribution to KBOO. 877-500-5266. Call now.
Let's go to our friends with the membership drive. FM. Everybody who's listening to this interview has heard, been told, and in some way been affected by statements like Republicans are better on budget and financial issues, a balanced budget is always a good idea, deficits are bad. It's not a mistake that these are considered self-evident truths. It's a history of economic ideas and theories that we've been told, oftentimes by people who claim they are objective and have no political agenda. They keep referring to themselves as mainstream, as does the media. In his new book, Seven Bad Ideas: How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World, author Jeff Madrick takes on these ideas, topics, and really important issues of our time. His other books, many of which you may have heard discussed here on KBOO, include Age of Greed, The End of Affluence, and Taking America. Mr. Madrick is a former economics columnist for Harper's and the New York Times. He's a regular contributor to the New York Review of Books and the editor of Challenge Magazine. But most of you have read his articles in Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, The Nation, the Boston Globe, or Newsday. Welcome to KBOO.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to talk to your audience.
We are so pleased that you could make yourself available, and I want to thank you for your time, your knowledge, and as well as the donation of books that we want our listeners to know will be available through the pledge drive.
Great.
As I mentioned earlier, I think many of our listeners are not only aware of some of the ideas that you posit in the book and are familiar with some of the names of the people who support your ideas, but have lived the effects of some, if not all, of the bad ideas that you've mentioned in your book.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So before we get to the seven ideas specifically, maybe you could give us some background as to why you decided to this book at this time.
I think it's been too long that economists have been getting away with ideas that have become extremely restrictive, that are enemies of frank, pragmatic, fresh thinking, that too often support the vested interests, the powerful interests, and in particular the rich and the elite business class. I think it's not widely understood that these ideas underscore and are the foundation for a lot that's gone wrong with the economy and indeed the nation. And I wanted to bring that to the attention of people. We can't live any longer with high unemployment, stagnating wages, the speculative bubbles, the collapse, and millions and trillions of dollars indeed are lost. We've got to be able to change our thinking. And I think many, if not most, mainstream economists, I'm talking not only about Republicans or right-wingers at the University of Chicago, but across the spectrum, in the Ivy League and in the the saltwater universities along the Pacific Coast, have contributed poor thinking and poor advice. And this is my attempt to turn that around and make people cautious about what these men and women have to say. And I hope to make policymakers cautious.
Yeah, well, it was really important because, as you say in the book, they come from some of the most prestigious universities, MIT, Stanford, Harvard. Bernanke was from a Princeton professor. So your accounting reminds us of a more honest reading of history, which was critical in the book. I do find it interesting on a personal note and kind of difficult for a layperson to understand that you have graphs and charts and evidence that seems almost disconnected to what could be reasonably obvious to ascertain.
Well, I think what's happened in the economics world is that there was a big reaction to the tumult of the 1970s, which probably more than one or two of your listeners remember, but more than one or two don't remember. High inflation, high unemployment, a very confusing and even frightening time for most Americans. The reaction was a turn away from government in general, a reaction to blame government. And economists, from my point of view, by and large joined that in their more technical way. So they began to adopt as true and even incontrovertible a set of ideas that by and large supported the notion of laissez-faire economics, that is, free markets without government interference. And this set of ideas took firm hold in the 1980s, though it began in the 1970s. And it's very hard to make the case that evidence itself, scientific, mathematical, or otherwise, was used to support them with the kind of vigor with which they're upheld. The evidence simply doesn't support them. So I categorize them. I put them in seven categories.
Yes.
Seven bad ideas, I call them.
Which was a very succinct and important way to break it down. I think this would be a good time to remind our listeners that the book is Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. You're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM. And I'm talking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. And now to tell you how you can learn more about seven great ideas and ways to support KBOO, let's go to our friends with the membership drive.
Thanks so much. Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. You know, this is Jinka, and I've been waiting for a book like this. I took economics in university, and I knew that something was wrong, that these theories did not make sense. And this explanation of what is wrong with the mainstream economists' ideas and how they have damaged our economy for so many years, this is what we're hearing about with this show. And you can get a copy of this book as a thank you for becoming a member right now. Now, the number to call, 877-500-5266. You can get this as a thank you for a $5 a month contribution. You could also do $60 all at once. And if that's doable for you, maybe you're already giving $5 a month, you can increase it to $10 a month. Get this as a thank you and know that you're contributing to your community on a daily and weekly and monthly basis. 877-500-5266. My name is Jenk. I'm here with Justin asking you to support your community radio station.
They said we couldn't just give away our signature product. You can't just put it out over the air and leave it to people to put their own price tag on it. But you know what? That's not enough. We're giving away books for people when they put the price tag on it. All that starts and ends with you in Radio Land. This is why we do it, and this is why we briefly interrupt our regular programming, which we don't normally do with shrieking heads and commercials. We interrupt briefly to give you in Radio Land the opportunity to call us up. Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what you'd like to hear more of. Tell us what books, what thank you gifts, and really to make sure that your name is in the KBOO Good Book, that you did your part. And it is just as easy as calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Perhaps you're in the Carolinas or the Dakotas or you're in Hawaii, all over. You're listening at KBOO.FM because maybe you don't have this kind of resource on your radio dial. Well, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you all over the world, and you can make that secure connection at KBOO.FM. You joined years and years and years ago, by and large. You've been listening because you want real information made by real people with our ears to the streets. And now we're just asking you to help make sure it's available for everyone around the area and indeed around the world. KBOO.FM, toll free, 877-500-5266.
Or maybe you just moved into town and you've been flipping through the dial and you discovered this station and you're wondering what this is that you're listening to. What is this amazing sound on your radio?
What's going on?
Where are the commercials? Where is the bullying that you hear on some of these other stations? Well, we're the antidote to the bullies. This is KBOO Community Radio, and it's only possible with the support of listeners. The fact is that this station is supported and funded by you, the listener. You can get a copy of the book right now if you pledge, and we've only got, I think, 3 copies of this book, so 7 Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. You don't want to miss this. I'm sure there's someone you can give it to to educate. $5 a month contribution, 877-500-5266.
You're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm talking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, 7 Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. I think maybe this is a good time to start with the first idea that you posit in the book.
Well, the first idea is the great foundational idea of modern economics from Adam Smith in his famous book, and I know your listeners are familiar or at least heard of the idea, the invisible hand itself. The invisible hand argues that without government controlling prices or controlling quantities of goods produced, buyers and sellers will come together in some kind of marketplace to set a price which will maximize, or as economists would say, optimize the amount sold at the best price. This all happens without government. This invisible hand is a great idea. It's, in fact, I call it in the book, a beautiful idea. But it is an idea about how free markets devoid of government may work, not how they actually do work. In fact, business can have a lot of power and distort these markets. Consumers may not have enough information about products to make decisions about those products. We are not necessarily rational beings. We may make decisions about what we want to buy or what we want to spend irrationally. And that is not how the invisible hand is supposed to work. So what often happens is markets do not distribute the goods and services in a fair and equitable way. Economists tend to presume that they always do. Almost always do.
And wasn't this a lot of what Alan Greenspan came up against in his quasi-reflection, is that he hadn't accounted totally, fully, or even partially for that reality?
It's very much what he finally admitted, and then I think after he admitted it, and what I think was an honest effort, he kind of retracted it. When you believe so deeply in the invisible hand, and as I said, the invisible hand is sort of the center of the wheel from out from which come 6 other ideas that I talk about.
Right.
But when you believe that the markets, without government interference, are fair and distribute goods and services, you also usually believe in no regulation or at least less regulation, including even of the financial markets. And Alan Greenspan believed markets would settle all these things fairly, and they won't. Let me take one example. Believing in the invisible hand suggests all of us will be paid exactly what we're worth, exactly what we contribute to the economy. Well, in the last 30 years, 30 to 40 years, wages have stagnated for men in particular. They've risen for women, I'm talking on average, but only at a fairly slow rate compared to their historical rate. Does that sound like markets are really working? Yet corporate profits are booming. The bounty of the economy, the benefits that the economic growth have created, the money that's been created have by and large gone to corporations and not you and me, not us workers,
yeah,
not us American individuals. Market isn't working. It needs help.
And like you said, on its face, the invisible hand is an idea around the national economy that if it accounted for or was ameliorated by the government or people who could look at it and ascertain whether that was working, it would be a different deal. But to wholly, totally, and completely embrace it, well, and first of all, as you mentioned through the book, there isn't any evidence that it's ever been a totally free market.
But, well, you know, one of the sort of tragic jokes of the super advocates of this point of view is that in the good old days, in the 1800s, when government didn't interfere so much, we had a great economy. Well, we've never had, in fact, no rich country has ever had a totally free market by any means. Our government built the canals. They eventually built the roads. They built the public school system, one of the great achievements in America, free, mandatory public schools for kids because we believed in education. They financed the railroads. They built, this is one, Michelle, that people don't always remember, they built the sanitation systems to make our drinking water free of bacteria in cities. General Electric didn't build the sanitation systems, the government did. And then we moved to the 20th century and they got even more active. High schools, subsidized in college, R&D expenditures, healthcare expenditures, the highway system, and on it goes.
In the best of what government and the private sector can do together, again, when Obama tried to honestly address that, you didn't build this. Of course, the rest of the quote was, you had help, the people right. before, the R&D, the research, every part of this. And yet every single time, and we're in the middle of a election cycle now, we hear about how government regulation is what's holding back corporations from making even more money when, as through the book, you show that that just isn't accurate.
Yeah, we're hearing that all over again because the fact is we haven't given up these ideas. And to a large degree, neither have economists. Now, let me just be clear, Michelle, to those who may be thinking, well, it can't be that simple. Economists can't be that biased or unfair or even unintelligent. The theory acknowledges that there are limits to free markets. But over the last 30 to 40 years, they've acknowledged that less and less.
Right.
In fact, they never quite, in my view, had it right. There are many more limits to the benefits of free markets than was ever truly acknowledged. But there's been a swing in the momentum towards a claim that these free markets are really, by and large, all we needed. So Alan Greenspan and the Democrats under Bill Clinton did not want to regulate financial derivatives, and they became the heart of the economic crisis, the financial crisis of 2007 and 2008. Why did these Democratic and Republican economists believe that? They came to believe in an ancillary idea, which is that speculation and trading of securities actually leads to stability and correct prices, a kind of ancillary outgrowth of the invisible hand. So it's not that they are unsophisticated or total believers in a free market. It's that they've significantly underplayed the limitations of that. And I think it's for simple reasons. They want simple ideas. You can build great edifices of quantitative economics on these ideas. You can give advice with the kind of authority that's not warranted when you believe in these simple ideas.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
And that will get to the last of the seven, but you're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM. And I'm talking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. And now to tell you how you can learn more about seven great ideas and ways to support KBOO, let's go to our friends with the membership drive.
Thanks so much, Michelle. You stole my line. I was thinking we were hearing about seven bad ideas. How about one good idea? That's supporting independent voices, educating us about the real information, not simply delivering us into the hands of corporatism and giant advertisers and shrieking heads. Won't you please sign on here? We are in favor of independence. We are in favor of real economies that serve real people on the ground. That's just one of the many things that we are doing and have been doing for over 24 million commercial-free minutes. My name is Justin. I'm joined by Jenka, and we are asking you to call right now, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Dear listeners, there are many of you who have shown admirable resolve against our entreaties, but now we are asking you, please, take a deep breath and unclench and pick up your phone and give a modest show of support to the mighty 90.7. You can do that online at kboo.fm, always secure from any wired box on earth, or you can simply call us right now. Take just a moment to introduce yourself. We'll get you all squared away. Toll free, 877-500-5266.
You know, I could think of many more than seven ideas as to why you should support KBOO Community Radio. And pick up the book. We have a couple more copies of this, Seven Bad Ideas, How Main Street Economists Have Damaged America and the World, at a $60 level. That's $5 a month. You can get a copy of this book. Really educate yourself on the economic system. What's wrong with what we've been taught in economics classes? What's wrong with the way that our youth are being taught about the history of this country? You know, we've been hearing in the news lately on the KBOO News, especially about Denver school system, the students protesting a curriculum that's being forced upon them, promoting this free market system, saying that they should not be taught any history that talks about anything other than the free market system. Well, as we're just hearing in this interview with this author, Jeff Madrick, this is not a true history. The children are being taught lies. And here at KBOO, you're getting the truth. You're hearing the real information. You can get this book and read it and share it with your friends and share this true information. And $5 a month contribution, you can get one of these. We only have a couple of copies left. So call right now, 877-500-5266. And I bet we could come up with seven reasons real quick. Training, the program that we're hearing right now, the Radio Zine, Flashpoints that we just heard, Air Cascadia, Democracy Now!, the KBOO Evening News, the volunteer programs that we provide, the events that KBOO puts out, the live broadcasts from the Blues Festival, from the Pickathon, from so many festivals in the summertime. You know what? I think I'm over seven now. I think I'm up to 9 or 10 at this point.
We would lose count if we were to list all. There aren't enough hours in the day, just as there aren't enough hours in the day for KBOO to continue doing all of the things we might do. We're trying to, if we get a 25th hour, we will provide more education, more enlightenment, more entertainment. And of course, dear listeners, you've been listening for a long time. You're savvy listeners. You know that this notion that they are trying to spoon feed us is poppycock. You are savvy and you know that's why you listen here. You don't listen elsewhere, or at least you can't bear it for long. Turn up, go over to Fox News, go over to NBC and tell them you want to hear more about real economy. You want to hear more about social justice. You want to hear about ending oppression culture. Let's see what happens when you do that. I think they'll laugh you back out onto the street. But we here at KBOO are working every hour of every day to try and blow holes in that poppycock. And we're asking you to make sure that your community radio station has everything it needs to continue that vital mission. 877-500-5266. The time is now and the opportunity is yours. This hasn't gone on for more than 46 years for everyone waiting for someone else to do it. It's gone on because you do it and you do it. I'm not talking about the person. I'm not talking to the person across the street. I'm not talking to the person who's driving behind you. I'm not talking to the person in the next cubicle. I'm talking to you. I'm asking you to remember what it means to have access to real people with real voices. These are public airwaves, but that doesn't mean anything if the public doesn't have access, an access point to those public airwaves. That's what KBOO is working every hour of every day to provide. And to keep those lights on, to keep the transmitter functioning, to keep our training programs going, we rely on your support. KBOO.FM or toll free 877-500-5266.
Do pick up this book by Jeff Madrick. It's available this hour for a $5 a month contribution to KBOO. We know that that you support KBOO, you listen with your ears, and now we just ask you to give with your pocketbook. This book was reviewed recently in the New York Times by Paul Krugman, and Paul Krugman appreciates it. He says that that this actually tells an important and broadly accurate story about what went wrong in the economic system, and it's continuing to go wrong. The way that the economists are promoting these false ideas, this idea that we have a free market when we never actually have, the Friedman Doctrine, and how that has undermined the meaning of citizenship and community. Do call now, support this community radio station, 877-500-5266. Do it right now.
You're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm talking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, Seven Bad Ideas: How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. To go through, I think we need to talk about Say's Law.
Yeah.
And the austerity economics, because again, if there was a big push to believe in the invisible hand, there has been the Keynesian theory, as you say. So start with Say's Law and then explain to us how that was employed and has been used.
Well, a French economist named J.B. Say, or as he would have called himself, J.B. Say, more or less pronounced that anything made will be bought. If we make 20,000 pins, to take Adam Smith's favorite example, there will be somebody who will buy them. If we make automobiles, people will buy them. They'll get paid wages and so forth, and they'll buy other things. Other companies will pay wages, and there'll be enough money around to buy whatever is made. Now, John Maynard Keynes in the 1930s said this concept, which dominated economics for a very long time, was just dead wrong. In particular, one aspect of it. Say's Law also said that whatever a nation saves, that is, what it doesn't spend of its income, will be invested virtually automatically by the business community. Keynes said, not so. The business community will invest if demand for goods and services, if demand for their products is strong. And there are often times when demand is too weak. Recessions are the clearest example. When the GDP, when our total income actually falls. But slow growth of GDP is also a time when demand can be inadequate. So no matter how much you save, it will not be invested. Now, this concept is what led to the length and depth of the Great Depression, because people didn't believe that. They believed, how do we get out of the Great Depression? Let's save more. Keynes said, save more means spend less, and business won't invest that savings, and he turned out to be completely right. And what's happened is we've got returned to this idea of Say's Law, and many economists, not just University of Chicago economists, but Harvard economists, have been saying, save more. How do you save more? By reducing the budget deficit, or not creating a federal government deficit. A deficit reduces savings. The government has to borrow and reduce savings. But only in the near term, only for the moment. When that money is spent, it creates demand for goods and services that stimulates business.
And this was the whole tragedy that has been occurring through the Obama administration's tenure about austerity and having the government and the state and local level cutting and slashing budgets and, you know, not adding to the deficit. That, again, we are in an election cycle, and we keep hearing that, you know, budget deficits, as if it were the most important consideration and concern.
And it keeps going on and on. Even people who believe the Obama stimulus, remember that stimulus?
Yes.
That $800 billion, very controversial. That saved us in many ways. It stopped the recession, and we started growing again, not nearly rapidly enough. A lot of people deny it, but even those who believe it was necessary, many of those still think, and they're at places like Harvard, not just, and the other elite schools, not just the highly conservative schools. They believe we still have to worry about that deficit in the long run. They do believe in that too much, let me say. They have not in any way proved that a deficit is dangerous if the money is spent at the right time and the right way. The right way is infrastructure and education and clean energy. The government has done that throughout American history, or the contemporary versions of that, and that's what we've got to do. Michelle, it's far worse in Europe.
Yes.
They have an austerity economics hole, and what do they have? Recession. They're probably returning to recession yet again, the third recession since we came out of the last one in 2009, the third recession since 2008. My gosh, those people are suffering. When we were just in Spain, the unemployment rate's 25%. But we adopted austerity too, the sequestration program. As you know, automatic cuts. That took significant strength out of this economy, and we really could have gotten unemployment down faster and much further. Mainstream economists continue to cling to this idea.
Well, again, I want to remind our listeners that I'm speaking with Jeff Madrick about his new book, Seven Bad Ideas: How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. And again, he's generously contributed several books. This is the keystone and important issue. At its very core, it is how the United States treats its citizens. I want to get to the third bad idea. This is a particular interest. Government is a sideshow, denying the importance of government regulation, its intervention in the economy. This has been regurgitated, revisited, and reinstated over and over again, and is playing on the airwaves now from Republicans stating, get out of the way of business regulation, it's hampering their growth, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you for bringing that up. And I do want to say on my behalf and in favor of the book, these ideas I talk about can't readily be summarized in a paragraph or two. I think they need the time and length and thoughtfulness of a book, and I tried to do that. They're not just a series of seven op-ed pieces. I'm not going to be able to convey all the subtlety. And I know you appreciate that, Michelle. When I started thinking about economic theory, it became clear that there's really no theory of government. The right wing says the less government, the better. Keep them out. Or let them build some roads and some elementary schools and do the military, but nothing else. But the left wing says government is only good when markets fail. Well, is that really true? How do we know when markets fail? I could make an argument that free markets are failing all the time. Because there are huge companies that push their employees and they control the prices. Huge dominating oligopolies and monopolies. Think of all the industries: pharmacy, insurance, healthcare, defense. Agribusiness, can you really think of an industry where there's not a bunch of dominant corporations? When do markets fail? My view is what's so discouraging is that the invisible hand was turned into an idea that free markets themselves would create the social and public goods we need without government. The infrastructure we need, the educational institutions we need, the retirement security we need. Milton Friedman wrote a book that we don't need Social Security. It's a violation of our individual freedom. That came out of an economic idea, a simplistic economic idea, but one that many economists hold to one degree or another. So there was this ongoing attempt to minimize the role of government, not merely in making markets work, like making sure you and I are paid fairly, but in creating social goods we need, retirement security, help for poor children. We have the highest proportion of poor children in the rich world. It's extraordinary. Poverty issues, health care for the aged, and indeed health care for the poor now, which I think is the great achievement of the Obama administration. I have many disappointments, but I do believe an imperfect plan was a better plan than no plan at all. So that was the third idea. Government is really a sideshow. It's really all markets and business, and society would be great if we just pushed government to the side. And while it might sound like I'm exaggerating this, please look at the book, and I think you'll see I'm not.
And you are right, Jeff. I mean, the difficulty about even trying to say there's seven bad ideas is that all of them overlap and inform one idea to the other. As a matter of fact, I would say that that's what the book does the best, is lays out the premise. And maybe we should have started with the last one and not the least. I'm sure it's the most important in understanding how a lot of this came to be accepted as fact. And you say that economics is a science. Just calling it that gives the unproven, often kind of theoretical economic theories a lot more credibility than they may observe.
Yeah, I think economists love to believe, many of them. And again, I should emphasize, there are lots of exceptions among economists, but I'm talking about those who predominate, that consensus that has the most influence. They very much like to believe they are a science, like a natural science. They build upon theorems and they build upon proofs and so forth. It's simply not the case. There are many brilliant ideas that were the foundation of economics, but they are not proofs. They are hypotheses, and they are ambiguous, and they come with qualifications. And in many respects, the qualifications of these ideas are much more important than the pure idea itself. And gradually, over these last 30 or 40 years, we've slimmed these qualifications down with the idea that it's really a science, that these ideas I talk about and other ideas are law, scientific laws, like theories of gravity or relativity or the Copernican theory, this great discovery that, no, we are not the center of the universe. Well, there aren't comparable ideas, or there are very few comparable ideas in economics. I think Keynes had one, actually. I think some of the ideas we're talking about, if their limits are understood, are extraordinarily useful. But what has happened is economists have made claims that they are something of a science, and that science tells us that economies are self-adjusting, that they by and large fix themselves if they're in recession. So, as I said, and we discussed at the beginning, if we have a recession, eventually wages will come down, prices will come down, interest rates will come down, and people will start investing again and hiring again. It just doesn't work that way. Even though the invisible hand and most of these other ideas are based on that very concept, and they consider that a core scientific concept. If economics were a science, it would build on the evidence that came before it. Just think for one moment how often we hear economists disagreeing with each other. Now, they're not in their minds disagreeing because they have a gut feel. In fact, they are often disagreeing because they have a gut feel, but a scientist doesn't want to admit that. A scientist wants to say it's based on hard evidence. Well, if it's based on hard evidence, why are they disagreeing so much?
Yes. You're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm talking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, Seven Bad Ideas: How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. And now to tell you how you can learn more about seven great ideas and ways to support KBOO, let's go to our friends with the membership drive.
Thanks, Michelle. And we are doing great here in the membership drive. We've raised about $22,000 of our $80,000 goal that we're trying to reach by October 10th. And we know that we can raise that $58,000 to go with your support. Every bit contributes to that. So KBOO has a pretty modest budget, and we're able to support this radio station by the $60 a month, the $100 a month, the $500 a year contributions that people give. If you're somebody who's able to give $5 a month, we urge you to do that, because all of those add up to our monthly budget. That's how this station is funded. You might think that we have some big fat cat giving us a contribution that funds this station, or some big advertisers. It's not the case here at KBOO. This station is put together by the grassroots. We are, as Ani puts it, the grassrootsiest of all of the stations and all of the media on the air. And we do that because all of you contribute. You're sitting there, maybe you're listening in your kitchen, maybe you're out gardening on this beautiful day, maybe you're in your car and you want to pull over just for a second and make that commitment to KBOO. You could do it real easily by calling up 877-500-5266. Educate yourself with this book and share it with others. This is a brand new book. It just came out 2 days ago. So this is hot off the presses, people. $60 contribution will get you 7 bad ideas, how mainstream economists have damaged America and the world, plus your year-long membership in KBOO Community Radio with all of the benefits that provides. Justin.
877-500-KBOO. You know, I was thinking as I was listening to you there, Jenka, that there's something really fabulous about the fact that it isn't one fat cat, because it contributes to a kind of sustainability, spreading the responsibility around in small increments, sort of like the web itself. It can't be brought down through the loss of one person, but that means that everybody needs to be taking their little bit of responsibility for the entire group. It's an audio commons, and we're asking you to get involved. 877-500-5266. Zoe in Southwest Portland, thank Woo-hoo! You so much. Sam in Stevenson, Washington, thank you Yay! So much. You are pointing the way. You are titans of generosity and responsibility taking, and you are showing the way to thousands of other listeners and saying, you know what? It's doable. It's not breaking the bank. You can just do it. You can call up and you can introduce yourself, and we'll add your name to the KBOO Good Book. That's how it happens. Everyone taking a small amount of responsibility, whether that means coming into your radio station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and getting a tour and seeing what we can do with duct tape, chewing gum, and baling wire, whether that's online at kboo.fm or on a busy day like today of yours. Perhaps that's just calling right now, toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
You're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm talking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, 7 Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. The fourth idea, that low inflation is all that matters. You mentioned in the book that for most workers, wages increased only 3% since 1979. And that stagnation's been occurring well before the crisis of 2008. The typical household income in 2013 was no higher than in 1999. Again, when we hear that we've lifted people out of poverty, it's, you know, a lot of economists have noted that the poverty rates had fallen in the developing world, but the claims were misleading because most of the poverty reduction was in China and to a lesser degree India, neither of which followed the free market policy that were prescribed by the West.
They did not follow the policies proposed by the West. They eventually adopted some free market policies, but very slowly and very cautiously, and with constant regulation, in particular China. There have been some successes, but they're much less so than the economics mainstream likes to say there have been. The low inflation rate, I think, Michelle, is maybe the best example. We've had one policy in America, basically, I believe, since the early 1980s. That is to keep inflation low. It was partly a reaction to the wild inflation of the 1980s. But economists like Ben Bernanke gravitated to this idea that if we keep inflation low, markets will work it out all by themselves. The problem with higher inflation, and this is one of these ideas, higher inflation introduces uncertainty into markets. We don't know what future prices will be, so consumers and business make bad decisions. this is one of those ideas that rests on the rock-solid assumption that as long as markets are allowed to operate without government interference, they will come up with the best solution for all of us. It's simply not true. And the killer is this. We've focused, the Federal Reserve, our central bank in particular, has focused on a 2% annual inflation rate target. Now, I bet your listeners out there say, well, they must have had come up with 2% somehow. They must have had. They didn't. They just gravitated to it. I would say in the least scientific way, there is no accepted evidence that a 2% inflation will be less harmful than a 4% inflation. And I would argue it's more harmful, because to keep that 2% inflation, you got to keep the unemployment rate too high so that workers don't get big wage hikes. Wage hikes would force business to raise prices, and that, modern economists believe, is the main culprit, high inflation, and they're dead wrong.
And talk to anybody who's been unemployed and trying to make a living or find a way to feed their family, and they would know that this isn't working. And again, the evidence was that a typical household income in 2013 was no higher than in 1999. So we can go back, we can look at some of the evidence, and we can say, is this working in the way that it was designed to? And again, to your point, what was it designed to do? When you talk about the social fabric and well-being of a country, that has to matter for something.
Yeah, that's a major issue, and I'm glad you bring it up. We have to be able to talk about community, about the social fabric, about what we owe each other. As a former philosopher, professor of mine once said, what do we owe each other? Will the market arrive at the general common good on its own? To some degree, Adam Smith, who was a great intellectual, argued that it would, but not nearly as vehemently as his followers 200 years later.
This was according to an article in the Financial Times. The income of rich country middle classes have done worse than almost any other group globally over the 20 years before the crisis. This is according to the Center City University of New York and Luxembourg study. That alone should say how it is affecting people.
In terms of rate of growth.
Yes. Yeah. And so, by definition, the United States, which is one of the rich countries, middle class, has felt this. They know this. And if there's any positive note, this might be what's fueling the 99% movement. They know.
I think we know. Wages have not grown in the last 5 or 6 years for people in a recovery. That's very unusual. In fact, they haven't grown, as we've just discussed, for 30 years. Or they've grown at an extraordinarily inconsequential rate. So if our incomes, the incomes of our people don't grow, what's an economy for?
And that being the more critical and important, I have two sons in their 30s, and we went to look at several of the Portland public parks, and they were absolutely jaw-dropped that this investment 50 and 100 years ago of land, effort, energy, buildings to build these lasting monuments to community could even be created and exist. And I mean, in New York City and anywhere you go, you look at all of that and say, these were people planning for their people.
Exactly. You know, in New York City, we have the Triborough Bridge, the Lincoln Tunnel. You know, throughout the country, dams galore, roads and bridges, extraordinary achievements of the 1930s.
We decided that that was what was important, and it was valuable.
And we thought we were poor then. In some degree, we were poor then compared to earlier. Somehow or other, we've convinced ourselves we can't afford these things now, and it's just not true.
It's just not true. You're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM. And I'm talking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. And now to tell you how you can learn more about 7 great ideas and ways to support KBOO, let's go to our friends with the membership drive.
Thanks, Michelle. And okay, so many ideas, so many ways that you can support community radio. 7 great ideas. 1 is the free training that we provide. 2, the community connection. 3, the events, the monthly events that KBOO puts on. The board ops, like Sam, that's in there right now, running the board, trained right here at KBOO, and is able to provide that and be a part of this community. The people who are here on a daily basis, the hosts, you heard talk radio this morning. That's another reason. Democracy Now, yet another reason. So many reasons to support community radio. I could just, naming those off the top of my head, but there are many, many more. 877-500-5266. I want to thank everyone who's called so far. I want to thank the restaurants that have donated food for our volunteers. Katie O'Brien's open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 2:30 a.m., 2809 Northeast Sandy. Voodoo Donuts, open 24 hours a day, 1501 Northeast Davis and 22 Southwest 3rd Avenue, where the magic is in the hole. Thank you so much for everyone who's contributed, and I want to ask you to be the next. Pick up what may be the last copy of this 7 Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World, for a $5 a month contribution. You've got about 10 minutes left to get a copy of this book, and I know that that you want to support Michelle Schroeder Fletcher and this show and this type of programming, really delving deep into the intricacies of the economic system and what's wrong with the ways that we've been presented with the doctrine of economics, the free trade doctrine. 877-500-5266. Give a little each month, maybe $5 a month to KBOO.
877-500-5266. We're weaving a tapestry here. We have been doing so for a long, long time. We're weaving this tapestry, bringing as many voices together as we can. We're not asking you to necessarily like every hour equally. We know you have your favorites, but we're trying to reach out across these different spectrums, whether you're into hillbilly or hip-hop, whether you're into bluegrass or bhangra, whether you're into news or noise. There is something for everyone here, and we're asking you to get on board. 877-500-5266. We understand maybe you want to give at just your right time, but as I said earlier, you've shown some pretty admirable resolve at resisting our entreaties, and we're asking you now to take a deep breath and reach deep down and find pennies, nickels, and dimes. That we call it social change. We marry your pocket change with other people's pocket change, and it becomes social change. It doesn't take many monies to do it, but it takes many givers. It takes many hands to make light lifting, and we're asking you to call right now. 877-500-5266. You can do that online at kboo.fm or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. It's the only way we've managed to serve the community for over 24 million commercial free minutes. Put a price on that and start a monthly contribution. 5, 10, 15, 20, the amount isn't as important as the fact that you get involved, that you give. Put a price on it. We're giving it away. We're asking you to be savvy enough to do the right thing. 877-500-5266.
You know, you might not have $60 in your pocket right now. I don't. It's very hard for me to put $60 together in my pocket, but I do have $5 a month, and I'm able to give that to my community radio station. If that's something that you can think of as a doable contribution, $5 a month, can you do that? Can you give up one of those lattes for KBOO every month and support community radio, support this resource that that provides a voice for the voiceless in our community? Think about it. Can you do that? $5 a month. It's really not too much to ask. And you get an added bonus. You get a book about the how mainstream economists have damaged America and the world. If you call right now, 877-500-5266. And, you know, I want to add, you mentioned the different genres of music. If there's a show that you've been wanting to see, we likely have tickets for that show. We have so many tickets, I can't even name them, but we have tickets for many, many upcoming shows in the Portland area. For most of them are a $60 contribution, some are a $75 contribution, but if you call up and ask the volunteers, they'll explain to you what you can get for the amount that you're able to give. $5 a month is what we ask, and you can actually get tickets for a monthly contribution. If you can start up a $5 monthly contribution, you can get take a loved one out to an upcoming show in the genre of your choice. 877-500-5266. Call right now. Call before the 12 o'clock hour hits. Help us reach our goal.
It is far more sustainable to have many givers giving modestly than it is to have a few givers giving largely. We're asking you to be a part of that experiment, to give in modest contributions. To do that, we're not looking for someone to come in with $1,000, though we're happy, and you might be surprised. We do receive gifts of that size, but the real sustainability comes from everyone pitching in a little bit. And you can do that online at kboo.fm. If you've never been down to your station, and my guess is most of you haven't, then come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. If that isn't convenient for you today in your busy day, please take just a moment to call up and introduce yourself toll free. 877-500-5266.
So, of course, last but not least, and again, I said it's, I think, the most important, that economics is a science, and calling it that gives it far more weight. I think that this is oftentimes by design, not by default, that the obfuscation and the difficulty and the complications of understanding, they're designed to kind of cover up the trajectory and the evidence of what's been going on.
I think it's a complex set of issues, but economists want to be, they want economics to be a science. There's more prestige in it. It allows them to create measures of achievement. It allows them to give awards based on dubious and analytical techniques. In many ways, the mathematics themselves are brilliant. It's the assumptions, it's the input that isn't. And so we have these fantastic creations built on weak ideas. And in the end, the creations are not related to the real economy.
You did a fabulous and interesting job in the book showing these disparate ideas and the information used in arriving at many of these conclusions and theories. Really, and how to weigh the importance of the information, from the decline of unions to immigration and outsourcing to education and technology. A really interesting look at even taking the same information and drilling down further and saying, what does it really say? Well, I want to let all our listeners and remind them that I've been speaking with Jeff Madrick. And his new book is Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. And I want to say again, thanks for sharing these ideas and challenging the very profession that you're part of. It feels like a great KBOO tradition. I want to thank you again for your effort, your energy, and your commitment. And I love this quote that from E.J. Dionne, fierce sense of justice and clarity. You're listening to the Radio Zine. I'm Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM. And I've been speaking with Jeff Madrick, author of the brand new book, Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World.
You've been listening to Michelle Schroeder Fletcher on the Radio Zine, and we are here in our membership drive asking for your support. The number to call, 877-500-5266. We've still got one last copy of Seven Bad Ideas. That can be yours for a $60 minimum pledge. That's a year. That's $5 a month. You can split it up into a monthly deduction from your checking account or your credit card. Seven Bad Ideas, How Mainstream Economists Have Damaged America and the World. Brand new book by Jeff Madrick. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. 2 minutes left to get that last copy.
877-500-KBOO is the way to get involved, to make sure you are radioactive. There is one good kind of radioactive, and that is you giving a little bit of support for the entire community. Remember, you're not giving it to us. You are putting it into a trust. You are making a gift to the entire community on behalf of yourself, your friends, your family, your neighbors, and people you don't even know. This is an act of political courage. This is where you put money behind the notion of free speech. This is where you ensure the public's access to the public's airwaves. That may sound hyperbolic, but indeed it is not. Go over to Fox News and tell them you want to hear about social justice and ending oppression. You want to hear about that. Yeah, and then you'll be back, and we will be right here. We're asking you, save yourself the trouble. Please make sure that you've done what you can do for the entire community. 877-500-KBOO.
Ask them about the Friedman Doctrine, which they'll promote, but they won't name, as Milton Friedman has set the stage for the economics that we've faced the dire consequences of over the last decade. That is, or more, and that is, that's the kind of economics that's promoted, but yet the fallacies of it are not brought out by anyone other than KBOO Community Radio and people like Jeff Madrick that you've just heard on the air with Michelle Schroeder Fletcher. And not only him, but so many people come on the airwaves, experts in their fields, and really telling you the facts, laying it out, showing you what's going on, and allowing you to make your own decisions. We are promoting critical thinking here, not just one single perspective, but many perspectives. That's the way we do it here at KBOO. We want to thank so many people who have already given. We are well on our way to our $80,000 goal. We need your support in order to reach it by October 10th. India House provided food today, 1038 Southwest Morrison, serving Indian food for lunch and dinner every day in the heart of downtown Portland. And Chow Vito, 2203 Northeast Alberta Street, open Monday, Wednesday to Monday, 4:30 to 10, Sunday 5 to 9, serving Italian and Mediterranean-inspired food. Thank you so much to the restaurants providing food and to all our volunteers who are here supporting KBOO.
Everyone is doing what they can. Those restaurants have given because they want to support community radio, and they're trying to make sure that our volunteers are fed so that they can receive your calls when you're getting on right now and calling toll free 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Restoring Volcano Country, a fundraising event for the Gifford Pinchot Task Force on Thursday, October 10th at 5:30 p.m. The event includes live music, local artists, a live and silent auction, and more, and takes place at Holocene. The Gifford Pinchot Task Force mission is to protect and sustain the Gifford Pinchot National Forest and neighboring communities through conservation, science, and advocacy. Again, that's Restoring Volcano Country, a fundraising event for the Gifford Pinchot Task Force on Thursday, October 10th, 5:30 p.m. at Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, this is Sun Lee, KBOO's membership director.